Thanks for downloading the free feed of Sunday night's main event. If you'd like the entire show commercial free, please sign up to our Patreon at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
AEW is ready to crown the tag champs. McGregor is set to step back into the octagon. And are you ready for divorce court? Because we're not, but it still might be better than Crown Jewel. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event coming at you on TSN Radio and News Talk 1290. My name is Jason Agnew, and joining me in studio this week, a man who skipped out on Bound for Glory last week, but is here to preview Crown Jewel. Lavransky, is that a wise choice?
Wait a minute, you didn't tell me we were going to talk about Crown Jewel.
The whole 2 hours, Crown Jewel.
I got suckered in, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, no, well, we got lots to talk about, not just Crown Jewel, and it's going to be a really packed show. And I think myself and Mr. Agnew, we might have a few disagreements this week.
Here and there, yes, indeed. All right, that is coming up, along with that. Dave Meltzer will be with us later in the show, plus the return to the six-pack challenge this week, Mouth, a fatal Filipino fight.
Whoa.
It's Andrada versus Aguinaldo.
Oh, no. Woo.
It's our own version of Double A. Plus, Turnbuckle Trivia will also round things out tonight. No need for a break. Let's get you all updated with a very busy week in the world of wrestling and MMA right here on Sunday night's main event.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
This week's news reads a lot like an injury report. Now, to start things off, news broke right after we got off the air last week about La Parca. Now, we should clarify this. This is La Parca, not the gentleman now known as L.A. Park.
Don't get him mixed up.
Who some of you would have known as La Parca if you watched WCW back in the late 90s. So not that guy. This is Triple A's La Parca. He suffered a neck and spine fracture when he hit his head on the guardrail doing a dive in a match last Sunday night in Monterey. He was immediately rushed to hospital and underwent surgery at 5 a.m. Now, there was a fear of paralysis as he was unable to feel his hands and feet for a while, but did regain feeling before surgery. After surgery, there was a report from his son that La Parca was able to speak and identifying people and is off the respirator, breathing on his own. We'll get the latest from Dave Meltzer later in the show about the current condition of La Parca. That's definitely a scary one, though, Mouth.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Also, on Monday, Xavier Woods suffered a torn Achilles tendon at the WWE show in Australia. It was a fluke injury, as it just happened when he was jumping down from the ropes. Oh, man.
It seems to be, you know, they can do all these crazy dives, but the simplest thing.
Yeah, the simplest thing ends up taking him out. Woods underwent surgery to repair the tendon on Friday, and this is obviously a very serious injury, and he will be out of action for an unknown amount of time.
This is a really bad one. The only person that immediately came to mind when I heard about this torn Achilles was Edge, actually went through this and was out for a long time, but did return. And so hopefully, you know, that's good news for Xavier. A lot of rehab to come.
And this therefore cements that Kofi stays in the New Day and that never goes anywhere near the title picture ever again.
Well, the whole New Day act really needs to be just said. They should have done that in the draft. It was such an easy way to break those guys up.
Yeah.
They opted not to do that. TMZ reported on Thursday that UFC Hall of Famer Randy Couture suffered a heart attack while working out. Now, Couture actually thought that he had just tweaked the muscle, so he finished his workout. Then when the pain didn't let up, he walked three blocks to the hospital.
That's amazing.
He got to the hospital. They immediately took him in, was put into intensive care, had surgery to have a stent put into his heart. Well, listen, Mouth, it's a few days later, and voila, Couture already recovered, left the hospital on Friday, and walked home.
Is that true? He walked home afterwards?
He legit walked. Oh, traffic's really bad in LA, right?
I guess so.
So this is, I mean,
but
you know.
But that's so Randy Couture.
He was known as Superman for a reason.
That's so Randy Couture. I'm not surprised by that at all.
I was surprised by the heart attack,
well,
though.
Yes,
I mean,
true.
Because he's just, to me, it's like
Bruno. He's like Bruno Sammartino, right? He's going to work out until he's 80 and you know, about all that kind of stuff.
He's the Bruno of UFC, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, here's a big story. We got to get to this. Tomorrow night on Raw, we're all in for a treat as Jerry Lawler will be hosting a King Court segment, but it will feature Rusev, Lana and Lashley, and thus will be King's divorce court. What, they couldn't get Lynn Toler? Where's Lynn Toler? She's the one that hosts the divorce court TV show.
Why do you know that off the top of your head?
She's the judge for that show.
But you know that, though. That's what freaks me out.
The thing that freaks me out is that is such an easy WWE celebrity grab.
Sure.
I'm so surprised that they didn't pick her for that, right?
Well, I mean, when you talk about someone who knows divorces, King's good. Ric Flair would probably be better for this segment.
He's busy. He's busy with something else. Okay, so along with that delightful segment, the Raw Women's Champion Becky Lynch will face Women's Tag Team Champion Kairi Sane, and Universal Champion Seth Rollins takes on Eric Rowan in a Falls Count Anywhere match.
So they're previewing a Falls Count Anywhere match with another Falls Count Anywhere match. That's smart.
Yes, so ridiculous. And on SmackDown, we have Kofi and Big E taking on the Revival because we haven't seen it enough already, and Roman Reigns will take on King Corbin. Oh, boy.
Wow.
Not exactly a stellar preview for this week.
No, not looking good. Probably not even looking better than Crown Jewel, and that ain't looking good.
It's not looking good either.
We'll get there. Let's talk positive, though, and that is AEW this week. There's going to be some sort of collaboration with Adult Swim, as all the audience members in attendance will be given Rick and Morty masks.
Wow.
More importantly, though, SCU will face the Lucha Brothers to proclaim the very first AEW Tag Team Champions. The titles will be presented by the Rock and Roll Express. We could comment on this now, Mouth, but I have a little beef to take up with you in the next segment,
we'll get there. We'll save it then.
Lots of AEW talk on the show today. Now, also in regards to AEW, they have signed boxer and Olympic medalist Anthony Ogogo. Now, Ogogo's 30 years old. He's a former Olympic medalist, scoring the bronze medal in boxing for the middleweight division at the 2012 Olympic Games in London. Listen, I'm not saying this is a contract as opposed to a one-off,
right?
But it's strange. We were talking off air, and you were saying, you know, Tyson Fury's doing his thing. But this, to me, looks a little bit more long-term.
Yeah, exactly. And certainly, you know, I talk about Tyson Fury, not even to me being that high profile. This is, you know, way below that. So probably a guy that has a desire, wants to do it, and they're going to train him from the ground up. Because as it is, this is their kind of, be one of their first developmental almost kind of things. Right.
That's a whole thing that we really haven't talked about.
How are they going to create new stars and stuff?
AEW developmental. What is it? Where is
it?
How do they go about it? Do they just pick from the indies? Like, what are they doing here?
That's it. I mean, I could see maybe at first they're going to stick to just plucking talent, but eventually they're going to have something.
System, yeah.
Yeah. All right, now, I love the way you spaced out these items. For those of you that are excited about Impact...
Listen, I didn't make you watch last week.
That's true, you did.
I watched Bound for Glory with Bartender Dave.
That's true.
There was some interesting things.
Yes,
and
that's true.
When it comes right down to it, the person you're about to mention in this, the third person you're about to mention, is the most exciting thing on Impact.
You are right. So let's get into this here. You're going to start things off with a bang. And now, this is a spoiler alert. If you don't want to hear the results, plug your ears, put on a hat, hit the skip button for 30 seconds on the podcast. But Sami Callihan is the new Impact champion. Callihan defeated Brian Cage in a rematch from their Bound for Glory bout, but this time the two faced off in a steel cage. Now, after the match, Tessa Blanchard came out and stared down Callihan. So it looks like Impact is really embracing the intergender wrestling, and I expect Tessa to be the world champion very soon. Yeah, I mean, it's always been kind of a cool thing on the indies, but now this seems to be like the first quote-unquote major promotion taking it on. We'll see how far they go with it.
Yeah, I mean, the only one that we've really seen push this, and it was to their detriment, was Lucha Underground.
Yes.
But Tessa's a different world.
She is.
She's incredible.
She is.
She really needs to go hang out with her dad, though, in another organization. All righty. Let's move on.
He can form a set table. The next person be his own daughter.
You got it. Matt Sydal seems to be taking the first steps to getting back into the WWE good books, as he's been announced as a part of four upcoming Evolve shows. These dates take place on November 9 and 10, and then December 6 and 7. And he will not be called Matt Sydal. He will be using the name Evan Bourne. Well, there's that relationship between Evolve and WWE, right?
Yeah.
So it looks like he is Airborne once again.
But why would they change the name? That seems kind of strange to me.
Well, because he was Evan Bourne in WWE.
Oh, okay, I got you.
That's why.
Gotcha.
Remember that?
Okay,
I know it was a long time ago.
It was short. It wasn't very long. It wasn't a very long run either. Okay. This up next here, oh man, I don't know about this guy. While appearing on a guest on the Barstool Sports My Mom's Basement podcast, how's that for a title for a podcast? CM Punk said that he hasn't heard a thing regarding the audition he had for WWE Backstage on FS1 after trying out for the show. He did reveal, though, that the part he had auditioned for was as an analyst as opposed to a host. Speaking of WWE Backstage, when it does make its official debut on November the 5th, John Cena will be one of the guests, as well as former New England Patriot Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, you know who's happy about that? Mojo Rawley.
Oh, well, of course.
The only chance that Mojo Rawley has of
to
a push
yeah.
is to be hanging out with Rob Gronkowski. And I mean, if he's done with football, then he does like wrestling. Hopefully he'll help his buddy out, and Mojo's got a chance. The interesting thing about this, though, is I feel as though this show has already started. Like, they keep promoting this show.
It has started.
So what? Like, this is the official debut, but they've done specials.
They had the soft launch.
No, I'm with you. I agree. When I was reading this, I'm like, what do you mean the debut? It's already debuted. It's
twice,
started.
Right?
Yeah,
they've
exactly.
done two of them already.
Yes.
It's very silly.
It is.
Very, very silly.
I don't know.
Couple MMA notes here on the show. It was actually quite a busy week. And there was a very weird story this week where Nate Diaz sent out a tweet trying to get ahead of a potential USADA drug test failure. Apparently, he tested positive for trace amounts of the selective androgen receptor module, also known as SARM, which is prohibited. Now, even his opponent, Jorge Masvidal, tweeted back that he believed Diaz was clean and is expected to fight him at UFC 244 on November the 2nd. Now, apparently Diaz has not been suspended and he wants Dana White and the UFC to clear his name. He's been very outspoken in the fight against steroids in the past. This is just a very weird topic because
it's strange.
How did everything get tested so quick and then he was just pushed on into this main event? Like, it's very suspect.
Yeah, it's weird. And Nate Diaz, I thought if he's going to get busted for anything, it's going to be weed.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt about that.
But yeah, a very strange story and a very strange way to approach it. Like,
to try to get ahead of it.
Yeah,
I mean, he was just
get out there like
so
that.
Much. I mean, his diet is very stringent. Mm. He's a vegetarian. He eats clean. So it's like, I think this coming up, he was just absolutely sure that he was innocent. How did this get in here? And he tweeted at Dana and UFC, it's like, clear my name, this is garbage. He was ticked off.
Wow. Very, very interesting. Do you think it stops the fight?
No. I do think the fight will go through. They were trying to push it along. I think that they were trying to cover this up and keep
right.
it quiet.
And he brought it up.
And he brought it up wow. first, so they had to confront it. We'll talk with Dave about this because
yeah.
it's just such
it's a weird story.
Strange yep. story.
Yeah, for sure. Jake Hager's third MMA fight took place on Friday night for Bellator, and it ended in a no contest due to low blows. The fight was stopped after less than 2 minutes as Hager nailed his opponent Anthony Garrett twice in the groin. Inner Circle members Santana, Ortiz, and Sammy Guevara were all there to support Hager at the event. You know, this kind of works to his favor.
A bit. It's very heelish, right?
It's totally heel. Like, I don't watch Bellator very often, but I personally watched this one because I wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
I was curious to see what the Inner Circle were going to do.
For sure, yeah.
Right? And when the fight played out, I'm like, wow, you could really kind of play this up.
They will.
You know?
There's no doubt they will.
I think they should. I mean, it makes it perfect. He's a heel. He used low blows.
I mean, a win would be best, but this... Actually, a win would be best for his career. This is better for wrestling.
Yeah, honestly, in terms of the storyline, this works better.
Yeah. All right, and let's wrap things up with our crazy Conor McGregor story this week. Conor himself has announced he will be returning to the UFC on January 18th in Las Vegas. His opponent has yet to be named, but ESPN is reporting the leading contenders, Cowboy Cerrone and Justin Gaethje. Cowboy Cerrone and Conor McGregor, to me, that's the right fight to make.
Oh,
there.
It's a money fight, man.
It
I
is.
Mean, people will pay for that fight. I would love to see that fight, despite the fact that, you know, Cerrone didn't win his last fight.
But that's why, though. Neither did Conor.
Right, right.
They're
that's
just
true.
Two larger-than-life personalities.
Yeah, you're right. You've got great personalities. You'll have great promos leading into it and stuff like that.
And odds are Conor comes out with that win.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes.
Because Cerrone, I mean, both of them, they're...
Can you imagine if Cerrone beat him?
Good for Cerrone.
Wow.
Good
that would
for
be
him,
amazing.
Then.
But, I mean, the odds are going to be against him, I think.
Yeah, well, both of them lead these weird, crazy lifestyles. And, you know, Conor's just been off the rails. And Cerrone's never been one really to be known as being on the rails and strict and stringent as far as training goes, right?
But he has been fighting a lot more.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
Maybe too much.
Well, yeah, you're right. You could put that argument forward, too.
All righty. We're going to take a break now. We will come back and we will get into AEW. Because this old guy I was listening to this week, and I got some things to say.
All right, young whippersnapper.
I haven't been called that in a long time. We shall do that next. It's Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio. And if you don't love me now, we'll never love me again. I can still be saying we're never.
Hello, Gordy Levesque here. No one swings and hacks like I do. And no one struts quite like I do, too. And no one brews beer like Great Lakes do. Canuck Pale Ale. My beer, your beer. Our beer. Available in over 400 LCBO and grocery store across Ontario for only $2.80. Great Lakes Brewery. Brewed for you, Ontario.
The assault! Pack and punch over foot stomp combination! Top back pun hero! 1, 2, 3, and Dennis Sandler for the final!
While the crowd there absolutely loved this match, I myself was not that crazy about it, I have to tell you. I thought it was just a little too much on the spot fest kind of side and not really a lot of storytelling. And I also found, honestly, I found Private Party to be a little on the sloppy side in this match. I thought some of their Hurricane Ranas were very sloppy and just an overall kind of, like I said, trying to do so much in a short period of time.
Well, welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. That clip right there is one of our Patreon shows that happens every week. It's called All Elite Weekly. At least that's what we're allowed to call it on this show, Mouse.
Yes, that's right.
So All Elite Weekly, it's Dan Lavransky and Joe Aguinaldo. It happens every week. It's reviewing AEW Dynamite. And Mouth, here's what happens. I listen every week to your show.
Yeah.
And this week, I watched AEW, and I was like, it's been my favorite show of all of them so far.
Okay, well, there we're going to disagree right out of the gate.
And I'm watching it. I'm glued to the first two tag matches. I'm loving everything that's happening. And then I flip on your podcast, and I'm like, what? Did we watch different shows?
No, we watched the same
show. So now you were saying there that you didn't care for the Private Party and Lucha Brothers match. Because it's what you just think Private Party is still kind of sloppy and there's too many spots.
I still think they're green. Both of those, I thought it was way too much of a spot fest. We've learned that these matches don't have to be spot fest. The Young Bucks have done a great job at working the storyline stuff, the psychological stuff into their matches. I just felt this was an all-out spot fest. They're trying to do way too much in way too little time, and I do think Private Party are definitely a little on the sloppy side and a little on the green side. And I know that the crowd was going wild, and it was probably the match to do in front of that crowd.
Oh, yeah.
But it was not. I didn't enjoy it. I'm going to be perfectly honest. I did not enjoy that match. I did not think it was a great match. And I also didn't like it because I thought they gave way too much to Private Party and made it blatantly obvious that the Lucha Brothers were going to win the match. About halfway through the match, I'm like, okay, I know Lucha Brothers are
going to
win.
I've been saying that I thought the Lucha Brothers were going to win and go to the finals with SoCal Uncensored since they had that face-to-face on the first episode of Dynamite. And I haven't minded that.
Wait a minute. You were picking Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy before.
No, I was never picking them.
Okay.
No. I'd always said when they did that face to face, I'm like, that's foreshadowing in regards to where they're headed. The thing is, I think this is a great example of I knew where the tournament was going and I didn't mind it. Like, I was looking forward to the story being told. Now, I don't know who's going to win here, but back to this match. I'm looking at this also from the competition standpoint. You're looking to draw in a young audience of people that do like things that move fast. The YouTube culture, the Instagram culture, fast, 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 fast. They put these guys out there. Yes, Private Party is young. But by giving Private Party so much offense and putting them in there against the Lucha Brothers are a team that are going to make them look good. And if you go move, 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 to me, what that doesn't allow is viewers to change the channel and have that even that chance to go over to NXT.
Okay, I suppose if you want the car crash mentality, okay, there you've got it. But to me, that's bottom line. I mean, there's a reason the show has that other title. I'm more of an old school thought, and I just didn't think it worked. I didn't think it made Private Party look great. To me, it made them look like they shouldn't be in the tournament.
You think it made Private Party look like it because of the spot fest?
Yeah, they just weren't. To me, it didn't have any proper drama. It was too much of a spot fest. It was sloppy in spots. It didn't do it for me. Okay, maybe the young kid that is living life at 90 miles an hour enjoyed it, but I didn't think it was a good match, and I didn't think it was a good tournament match.
I thought it was. And along with that, that is the demographic that they are looking for. That is the demographic that is lost in the world of television, and they're actually doing quite well with that demographic now.
Well, that's the bottom line.
Yes.
Right? Whether I'm right or wrong, it doesn't really matter. The bottom line is to draw viewers, and if it draws viewers, I stand corrected. But for me, this is about, I'm reviewing the show.
I know.
I did not enjoy it.
Now, there were a few other things. Like, for instance, I was very surprised after this match, and I do think Lucha Brothers should have won and gone on to the finals. Do you agree?
No, I have no problem with the Luchas winning, no.
The second match, SCU versus Dark Order, originally, I sat there watching this, and I was like, but why? Because my WWE brain says, you don't put those two things back together. But then I tried to think of it in a different way. Again, the anti-channel changing mentality. You want your viewer to stick. What is your viewer there for tonight? They want these semifinals of the tag tournament. So you've put them back to back. Did you have, because you talked a lot about placement on the show.
Yes, absolutely. I thought there were a lot of things in the show that were not in the right place.
This one, originally, I did think that. But then when it happened, it has been a long time. You and I have been, we've been watching wrestling our whole lives.
Yep.
We've been working together for 20 years.
Yep.
It has been a long time since there was a weekly television show that A, is priority destination viewing for me, live, and B, and I didn't watch this live, I did watch this on DVR, so I had the option to fast forward.
Yep. And you didn't.
I didn't.
Yeah, which is, that is big for you, I know that.
I didn't fast forward for first two matches.
I'm critical of this particular episode, but it's not like I'm throwing in the towel AEW.
I know.
That, right? I still think they're the best promotion to watch on a weekly basis well. And I agree with you. I do watch it live, and I want to watch it live. But there were issues with this particular episode. I thought week three was a much better show than this.
One of the things that I did take issue with, and it really did have the potential to, and I think you and I will agree on this, is you're in the middle of the second match. The crowd is hot off the first match. The crowd is getting back into this match because you're coming down off that first match.
It took them a long time because they exerted so much energy in that first match, right?
And then Jericho walks out with Inner Circle. Why did that happen during this match?
Now, this we agree on.
This was a terrible decision.
There were several ways you could have gone about this. You could have done it in between the two matches.
Sure.
You could have started the show with that.
Could have.
I think it would have been pretty cool to have started the show with, hey, look at who's up in this box watching the show. It's Jericho and his cronies. Like, I think that, to me, would have almost been more exciting than starting it right out of the... Because they did start it with no opening credits.
Which I didn't mind.
No, I don't care about that either. It did go for an exciting start. But I thought that was... I didn't think that was placed in the right spot at all. You've got a major match in a tournament here to determine your number one contenders, the winners of the tag belts. And plus, they force this notion that they're sport. We're going to make it more like a sport. Make it more like a sport. Well, having those guys walk in and that totally just made it sports entertainment.
Yeah, I do agree with you there. Now, okay, we're going to get to Jericho and what he did. But first of all, SCU and the Dark Order, I really have challenges with Dark Order. Mm. I don't care for this tag team at all. I don't care for the cronies that run out with them. I don't care for any of this.
Well, I guess you weren't too happy with the results in the match.
Well, no, the match was perfect. SCU goes over.
Right, okay. Well, I don't know. It's... again, it was an okay match. It was a little bit better than the previous match because it just didn't go so crazy, I thought. The interruption was not good. And to your argument about putting the two matches together in the show, if you have those two right at the beginning, who says people don't tune out and not watch the rest of the show?
Well, I think that there's still more to this show. I mean, you still have the heavyweight title that is out there, and you know something's going to happen with it, and that drew people along to the Cody and Jericho, because you put Jericho up in the booth at that point, and it's like, well, why is he up there? What's going to happen? Mm-hmm. Clearly something's going to go on.
Right.
So I think they still are stringing people to watch.
So people would stay on.
Yeah. And they're advertising Kenny Omega versus Joey Janela.
Yeah.
And, you know, they did that.
Which, of course, if you had seen the dark match, of course you're going to be interested. Yeah.
Which I think the majority of people that they were trying to draw in with that match haven't seen the dark match because this is that fine line that AEW is walking right now. To you're playing to your hardcores, but along with that, it's the mainstream audience that they need to gather, that they need to keep coming back to this.
Yeah,
and I think one of the segments that wasn't even a match mouth, but that draws that mainstream fan is Chris Jericho up in the booth. We didn't like the way he got there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
but
established.
Once he got there.
Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah, no, it was great. I mean,
it was
got,
so good.
They've got tons of champagne, and they've got
beautiful.
The, you know, they've got the air horns, and they're
the
blowing
air horns.
The air horns
was incredible.
You know,
and they just waited on Cody getting out there to make the major announcement that he didn't end up making.
No.
I'm curious if that is going to
come down
the line.
I said that in the podcast. Does that actually play out, or was that just to get him out there?
Yeah, so I'm curious if that does come about. This was an interesting confrontation, though, that Cody did with Jericho. He walked on up there, and there's a huge difference here with the way that AEW did this, with the way that even with NXT... And I want to draw a direct comparison here on the two shows that happened this week.
Yep.
So Jericho interrupts Cody. He turns his back to the camera and walks down to the aisle. And as people are coming out, and it's, of course, Dustin, DDP, MJF, he doesn't go face to face. How, to me, because I watched this first, and then I watched NXT, and I saw Ciampa come out and then wait face to face for Gargano to come out, and then Balor came out.
Right.
Standing face to face, why didn't
time.
The yeah. four guys jump the one guy or jump the two guys? With this, Cody left distance. Of course, you leave distance if you're if there's more of them than there are of you.
You're absolutely right. That is so classic WWE to do that, to have guys come out and just stand there, and more guys come out, and then finally they all go after each other, or something like that.
I mean, AEW did that type of format, but because there was the distance, and Jericho's just there going, it's still 4-on-2, still 4-on-3.
Yeah,
I loved it, and Jericho's little remark about why would I be afraid of someone wearing a scarf is wonderful.
Yep.
Just one of those inside fun things.
He's the man. I know, because he wore a scarf all the time when he was in the WWE. Exactly, yeah, exactly.
And then the scarf ultimately being the thing it that was used to break the glass.
Yep.
And Cody goes in there, and when it comes right down to it, the baby faces got the advantage.
Yeah, exactly.
On
they did.
The heels.
Yeah, I know. I had no problem with any of that. It was brilliantly done.
I loved
done.
It.
Oh, I agree. It was brilliantly done, and it made you want to see what's going to happen next. Like, that was major good promotion for the pay-per-view. You are intrigued.
Yeah.
You want to see those two one-on-one now, right?
Yeah.
Because each guy has his little group. Now you want to see one-on-one what happens.
Now, I did have just a slight disagreement in regards to who came out with Cody. I get MJF. I even get Dustin to a degree.
Oh, no, I do for sure.
DDP is older, though.
Yeah, the DDP link is a tenacious one at best, and he seems to be, because he's already part of Cody's thing, that they just need to put him out there. They wanted the cheap nostalgia pop.
Yeah, I mean, I think the link is there, and I love seeing DDP in his corner, and ultimately, I mean, if DDP was beat down backstage or something like that, to me, that's where you can use DDP, because you know the link, but he's not my enforcer.
No,
you know what I mean?
No.
Like, where were the Bucks? The Bucks are set up to face Santana and Ortiz at the pay-per-view. Why weren't two of the... Why wasn't it Dustin and the Bucks?
Maybe, I don't know, because they had the Bucks match later in the show. They didn't feel they wanted them to come out, but I agree. Plus, Cody and the Bucks, if you want to talk about a link, like, I mean, good Lord, they're basically... There was those three plus Tony Khan that started the promotion.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, that to me was a weird thing too, but I figured it was probably because, well, they've got that other match coming up later. We don't want them out there twice, maybe, or
it's just
confusing to fans, maybe. I don't know.
It's a little nitpicky, but overall, this angle was so great to watch. And it's funny because you and I, you know, when we talk about WWE and when they go into the stands or they go into the crowd, I check out a lot of the time. Like, I just don't care.
Yeah.
And I was glued to this.
Yeah, but it wasn't the same thing, though, Jay. It wasn't usually the same sort of thing. They tend to use brawling and stuff like that in the stands itself, whereas this was more of like, I need to get to him, and he's up there.
Mm.
And it's like Jericho and them, they didn't run away. They stayed
right.
It wasn't running through the crowd. The people there could see what was going on. You could see what was happening. I liked the way they stood their ground until the guys got up there.
And they tried to hide
with
the glass door. It's classic heel.
Yes, exactly. And not to mention the awesome visual of Cody smashing the window.
It was great.
Like, come on. Like, and, you know, again, we live in this world where guys are falling off ladders through tables. You were talking about the spot in the Impact pay-per-view last week.
Yeah, that was we were talking off air about the AC Romero spot.
It's like
a lot.
We see these constant spots and we get numb to them because they're spectacular, and how far do you go? And that, to me, when he punched that window, I was like, I'm like, whoa, that, like, I mean, I just thought that was incredibly
effective. I just got visions of Goldberg. Because remember,
when he cut his arm.
Cody's
a lot smarter. He used the scarf.
Plus, I'm sure the glass was,
it was rigged.
Candy
absolutely.
Glass. Rigged glass,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So a couple other things to touch on AEW before we take a break. One that, again, I think we'll probably see eye to eye on is I don't understand the fascination with Britt Baker.
Me neither.
I thought that everything was done well with her. Britsburg.
The mascot.
Babyface goes over.
Yeah.
Everything was really done well. But I don't know. They're just hitching their wagon to Britt Baker.
Yeah, I'm a bit surprised. I thought at first maybe okay, she's just a little bit like when she came out and did the commentary that one time a couple weeks back, and I thought okay,
sorry,
maybe
was she there?
Yeah, exactly. I thought okay, maybe she's nervous. She's not quite no. And then the last two matches though, they have not been good matches. And in fact, I liked the other girl better, Jamie Hayter. I thought she did an excellent job as being a heel, and she just looked mean.
Right,
like she looks mean and nasty. I thought she was great. I would be putting more into her than I would be Britt Baker.
Well, I'm curious about, because allowing, I mean, again, you talk anti-WWE, is allowing a female to look evil and mean is not something that we regularly see, at least not in WWE, because look, Nia Jax should be that.
Right,
and
right.
They were like, oh, plus size model. Oh, no, she's a monster. And she's going to beat the crap out of everyone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Along with that, so the main was Pac versus Moxley, and they wrestled to a TV timeout. This came under a lot of criticism this week because we don't see it.
I totally loved it.
Mm-hmm. I didn't mind it.
I totally love it. They came under criticism because, and it was mostly, if you look, it was mostly younger fans who took this in the same context as a run-in. This is not the same as a run-in. This, they said right off the top, I guess too, because again, when I was younger, this was standard.
Yes.
They did it all the time. There are tons of great Flair matches on like Clash of the Champions or even the regular TV back then that went to a time limit draw.
Right.
It was an effective way that you didn't have to have a pin and both guys looked good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have no problem with it. It's not the same as a run-in. It's just another way to create drama without actually having someone get pinned.
It's a device.
Yeah.
It's a device to use. And neither one of these two characters did you want to take a pin right now.
No,
Pac is riding high.
Not. Exactly.
Because he took the pin last week in the match where Moxley didn't turn on him but left him there.
Yeah.
Now, after this happened, though, Moxley DDTs the referee. You took issue with this. Personally, I didn't mind it because Moxley's character is the wild man, right? He's the crazy guy. He is your anti-hero, Stone Cold Steve Austin style.
Yeah, fair enough. I would rather they just keep away from the referees in general.
Right.
The less interaction of that nature to me with referees, the better. Because, again, it's something that is done to death. It almost doesn't mean anything anymore. So I would like to see it be reserved for more special occasions. I don't think it was necessary here
in this particular incident. If you're in AEW, and because you bring up a great point about the referees being used and overused, beating them up being overused, ref bumps overused, are there ramifications for the Moxley character this week because he took out an official?
You
and if
what?
This is sports,
there better be. You know what? There absolutely better be, because that, again, exactly, that would A, give it a reason for doing it rather than just, oh, I'm a madman, I DDT'd the ref. You'd have some I think that would be an excellent idea, Jay. That would be awesome if the show even started with something like that, where they come out and I don't know, they put some sort of suspension. I don't know if you do a suspension.
I don't know. How do you do it? Because
that's
you
true.
Want Moxie on your TV, right?
That's true. And plus, you have to push for the pay-per-view, right?
That's
and
right.
And that match, really, if you think about it, that match did not get the attention it deserved. The Moxley-Omega feud is not really getting the attention it deserves,
I
don't think.
They're keeping them apart. Well, I mean,
last week they had
them
together. I thought there should have been a little bit more on this TV.
Maybe this week.
They have to,
yeah.
Jay. It's go-home show this
yeah.
week, right? So they have to, I mean, I think Cody and Jericho's in a terrific spot, and that's well in place. Now, you got to focus on this, because it's the semi-main.
Yeah.
Is Moxley and Omega. And really, to me, there hasn't been enough put into that yet.
It's funny, because it was such a hyped match when it was originally supposed to happen, and then it didn't because of the injury to Moxley, the elbow injury that he got in Japan, and the staph infection is what it was. And now, you're right, it's really played down. I'm not as geared up for that match.
No, because, well, they haven't given you anything to gear you up, right? Like, really, the focus this week and that amazing vignette they did with Cody last week, the focus has been on Cody Jericho. And sure enough, that is the main event.
It's a title, too.
That's right. That's right. And that focus should be there. But your semi-main should get some serious attention. And hopefully, you're right, and that happens this week.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the other show you could have been watching on Wednesday night, because some very interesting things happened this week on NXT as well. That is when we return. It's Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio. Please allow me to introduce myself. Right now, you're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event, and you're hearing this ad. Yep, it's a commercial. And it could be your commercial. We've got sponsorship packages available to suit any budget, so I could be talking about what you're selling. For more information, email me, jason@snmeradio.com. Get the message out about your product or service to thousands of listeners in Southern Ontario via TSN Radio and around the world with our podcast. It all starts with an email to jason@snmeradio.com.
As Balor has joined Gargano and Ciampa.
Those odds are much better.
Still four against me. What the hell?
Oh, my
what
God!
What the hell?
No!
Oh, my God! Undisputed era mauling Tommaso Ciampa for what the hell has gotten into Finn Balor!
Welcome back, Sunday night's main event. That Finn Balor right there, the heel. Finn Balor,
yes.
Mouth?
Yes.
Listen, heel Finn Balor is something that is overdue,
yes,
in WWE, and is something that should not be happening right now in NXT.
You think it's too soon?
He hasn't done anything.
That's true. He hasn't done anything.
This, now don't get me wrong, this is a very cool heel turn.
I love his look.
What a kick.
Yeah.
And his look.
Like the shaved head and stuff looked great, man.
Great.
Yeah.
Everything perfect.
The way he carried himself.
Let's do that 6 months down the line.
You're right. They haven't done anything with him. So
why
now?
He is a hero there at Full Sail.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, that NXT audience remembers Finn going out on a high.
Yeah, that's right.
He can
longest running champion.
And he can return to that glory. At least that was the goal for him to return to that glory and be so over with the crowd. Why? Why? If you have a baby, how hard is it to get a baby face over nowadays?
That's true, man. It's super hard.
You have an over baby face in NXT, and immediately you flip the switch.
You're right, because he would have got the treatment from the fans that he should have got on the main roster. And certainly you would think he would get booked better in NXT than he did on the main roster. So yeah, definitely a little on the premature side. And plus, I didn't like the execution.
Well, we talked about that in the last segment in regards to these guys standing face to face. This was just, I was just sitting there going, attack him.
Well,
attack him. What are you doing?
Well, if you're going to do this stuff with Tommaso and Ciampa, why even do the Balor thing with all the rest of this? Like, why couldn't it have been, like you said, kept down the road or something? It is. It's way too early. It's way too premature.
I don't know if, I believe that War Games is always lined up with Survivor Series to be the NXT event. And
okay.
if it's, I because as this angle is playing out, I'm like, oh, we're seeing the War Games tease here. There's Undisputed. They're on one side. All right, it's Ciampa. He reunites with Gargano. Oh, Balor's on their side. Who's coming out next? Well, now what do you do? Now you got Balor. Clearly, he looks to be in a program with Gargano.
Yep.
I will say, for this segment, even though it took far too long to get there, sometimes beatdowns are not believable.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it looked like a pack of wolves going to town on Ciampa.
Yes,
I love that from Undisputed's part.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I know this is going to be interesting to see how it plays out, but it seems way too premature. And I mean, Gargano-Balor would be a cool feud, but again, couldn't you have set that up separately from everything else? Like, I don't understand.
I didn't mind. Okay.
Why everything had to happen all in one angle.
For the sake of this, because it also, okay, I get your point there, because it also does kind of seem like, well, is Balor linked to Undisputed now?
Well, I mean,
that doesn't make sense.
I don't know if that was a question they were trying to leave us with at the end of the show.
So. I mean, Balor, if anything, could be linked to the OC, right? But he's not. They're not playing that out.
No,
he's on his own,
even though
I'd kind of like to see that.
Right, right.
You know, it's like, hey, I got a few friends, and boom, the OC's in a War Games match or something, right? But right now, this is very confusing. It was just too soon. The execution was fine in regards to the kick, but it's just too soon. I just feel like NXT has missed out on so many great pops for Valor. A whole run, a whole 6 months run has been taken away here.
Yeah, it's true.
For no reason.
It would have been great to have a couple strong programs as a babyface, you know, and then, yeah, when you have some reason or some question of it, then you could have turned them, but...
So now you spin off Balor with Gargano, and Ciampa's just left alone to fend off Undisputed. Right?
I don't understand that part at all. I don't understand. Unless they're setting it up so Ciampa is going to go get the partners for the War Games thing.
I guess. Who?
I don't know. Well, that was going to be my next question.
Who's at their level?
After Gargano and Balor, if they're not involved, who do you go with?
Is it Keith Lee and Dominik Dijakovic? Like, those two guys, they're really trying. Now, I haven't bought into either one of their characters. Uh-huh. I think Keith Lee has come in very slow, and there was a stutter step due to the injury. Dijakovic is not someone that's ever really appealed to me. I know they have great matches, but all of you guys listening, you know how I watch wrestling, and I'm more so about story, and I haven't felt it with these two guys.
Yeah, yeah.
So if they're being thrown up into the main event, to me, because they just had the match with Roderick Strong, mm-hmm. so there is a bit of a
there's a connection.
A feud. There's a connection,
yeah,
there's
a connection, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I don't know. I find that with a lot of the NXT stuff as of lately that the story element is not as compelling as it should be. And I just find that I'm not, like you said, matches are always great. They can blow you out of the water all the time. But again, I don't find any emotional involvement. No. I don't get any drama out of watching NXT. That's another one of the reasons I like AEW so much, is they actually work with those things. You
they
know?
Do. I just thought of it as you were talking. If it is War Games, it's Ciampa, Lee, Dijakovic, and then if I don't know how injured he is, but the one to come back is Velveteen Dream.
Right.
Because it was Undisputed that took him out.
Right.
So that could be your four.
Right, right.
Am I excited to see that in War Games? Not as excited as Gargano Balor at Ciampa's side, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, right.
If that was the case, I'd much prefer to see that.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about returns to NXT, and let's talk about people that will undoubtedly be huge baby faces this week on the show. And that is Asuka and Kairi Sane. They're back this week as heels versus Tegan Nox and Dakota Kai.
Dakota Kai, yes. Yeah.
What's going to happen here?
This is interesting.
I mean, it could just be a dual babyface match, and they should probably do that.
But you see, I see kind of two sides. I definitely see your side where you're worried that they're going to get cheered because people love them so much in NXT.
Worried, for sure.
But also, the NXT fan, somewhat like the AEW fan, wants to buy into things if it's there. So they might buy. No, you don't think not even in the slightest?
You're going to say they're going to boo them because they want to be good fans?
Well, I wouldn't say it's good fans, but I find that if they're presented as proper heels, that they will boo them.
Oh, are they presented as proper heels, Mel? Well, is green mist?
Yeah,
is that what this crowd...
Well, you know how I feel about that. Yeah, I don't know. It's gonna be a tough one.
They're gonna get the biggest pop of the night on Wednesday. You remember both of these women?
I don't know about that.
Asuka and Kairi Sane both left NXT. One of them left as champion.
Yeah, I know.
Asuka's never been defeated.
Yeah.
She was a monster leaving.
We'll see. I mean, I guess because it's the same 500 people at Full Sail every week, perhaps that'll happen. But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. That's a confusing one.
There's a lot of talk about Full Sail. How much does Full Sail take away from your viewing? Does it bother you?
Absolutely none at all.
None, okay.
No, you know why? And I'll tell you why. And we'll talk about something else that's getting a lot of buzz and is way more low budget. And the look does not bother me in 1 second, and that's NWA
Power. Your new favorite show.
NWA Power. You know what that is. Yeah, but that's a big buzz. Everybody's happy about it. No one complains about, it doesn't look good in a little tiny TV studio.
But that's what it's meant to be.
Yeah, well,
I don't think as the WWE takes NXT onto the USA Network, their ideal setup is Full Sail. I don't believe that's their ideal. I do believe that NWA Power's ideal is where they currently reside.
Well, of course it is. They're trying to tap into that old school nostalgia with the TV studio wrestling from the 70s. But by the same token, if you take NXT and you start to put it in bigger arenas, what does it turn into?
It's the same. It's the same as the other two shows. And that was something that I talked about and we talked about on this show over and over.
I don't know. I honestly, I don't think the arena is the problem with NXT.
I don't think so either.
I think the problem is we need to have some compelling storylines and dramatic angles that will entice us and get us to watch. The wrestling is already there, but we need something to make you want to watch. And changing it to a bigger arena isn't really good. And adding pyro or whatever else is not going to be a big deal. I also
don't think that right now, NXT cannot win with ratings. And NXT cannot win with what the fan wants. Because, to me, this is like, if every day of... Listen, I love pizza, okay? I love pizza. But if I eat pizza for a month straight, and I'm eating the same pepperoni pizza every single day, and then you offer me a hamburger on day 32... What am I going to choose that day?
The pizza.
Okay.
Because it's you.
Okay. But no, you're negating my point. I might. But what I'm saying is it's the variety and it's the novelty of something new. And AEW exists in that. And NXT doesn't. NXT has been going for a while.
And you're absolutely right. And you're right. NXT could maybe use a fresh coat of paint or vibe up.
No, it doesn't matter. It's still a WWE brand.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what they do.
I agree. It's under the WWE umbrella.
Yes.
And so that, and it's in and of itself is hurtful, I think.
You bet. That is the main number one thing that hurts it.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, I totally agree in terms of that. It's nothing to do with it. You know, that's the problem with WWE. They always get into these superficial things like, oh, we need to have pyro and we need to have a bigger arena. That's not the stuff that matters. You need to create. I don't care what it looks like. I mean, I'm not the stickler for production that you are, right?
But I don't mind NWA Power because their production
well.
Is good.
It's more than good. It's amazing for a TV studio wrestling show.
It's good.
They never looked that good in the day.
Well, they couldn't look that good in the day.
But they didn't. But to me, the bottom, like, because I'll go back to ECW in the 90s. Garbage production. Looked like crap. Yeah. Loved it. Watched it every week faithfully. Like, it's not about the look to me or the production. It's about creating some compelling characters with compelling storylines, dramatic storylines, and I'll watch, and I don't care about the budget. That's NWA Power is doing a great job of that right now.
NWA Power is also something different, right? Like, it's a different company. There is a movement in the wrestling world of people that are just pretty much, maybe not anti-WWE,
but
that is strong, but tired of it. And tired of being abused as fans.
Absolutely.
It's like an abusive relationship, and all of a sudden, someone's come in, and there's
the new lover that's treating you properly.
Tells you that you have worth.
Yeah.
And your time is worth their while.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what Cody Rhodes is telling all of his fans with AEW, that you are a valued fan. We appreciate you watching our product.
Yep,
when's the last time WWE told fans that they are appreciated? I can't answer that question.
I don't think they ever have. I don't think they ever have.
But let's talk about them next.
Yeah, okay.
Got to take a break. When we come back, yes, indeed, we shall talk about the main roster, Raw and SmackDown of this week. We've been pretty positive so far. That'll stop now. Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
Hello, Gordy Levesque here. No one swings and hacks like I do. And no one struts quite like I do, too. And no one brews beer like Great Lakes do. Canuck Pale Ale. My beer. Your beer. Our beer. Available in over 400 LCBO and grocery store across Ontario for only $2.80. Great Lakes Brewery. Brewed for you, Ontario.
And that was the angle this week presented by the WWE to hype up the match between Tyson Fury and Braun Strowman. Because, Mouth, if you take a shoulder tackle, the one thing you're going to sell is what?
Your ankle.
Your ankle. He could have tripped. He could have stumbled. He could have twisted it.
Braun could have stomped on his ankle.
I didn't see, but it could have been a twisting bit. This was real bad, man.
It was. The whole thing was bad, Jay. I mean, once again, I know it's pro wrestling, but you can't stretch the credibility. I hate these ones where it's in a combined situation like that, where the guys are in the ring, and then all of a sudden the guy attacking him is right there. Like, you didn't see him. You didn't see him outside the ring. You didn't see him get in the ring.
If it's off camera, it's off mind. Like, yeah, how did he not see?
It's like there's this certain barrier around the picture, and anything outside that barrier is not, nobody sees that. It's like, no, that's not how people think. I thought it was terrible. And like you said, selling the ankle instead of the shoulder, what was that all about?
And also, I mean, it's a boxer. Wouldn't it have been more effective to, like, sell your shoulder so you can't throw a punch?
That would make sense storyline-wise, wouldn't it, Jay?
Along with that, how do you do this match? I mean, we're going into Crown Jewel. It's happening Thursday, as we briefly talked about. And you have both Fury versus Strowman on this. Along with that, you have the challenge of Velasquez versus Lesnar. So let's put Velasquez and Lesnar aside and talk about Fury versus Strowman. Fury has to win, right? He's the celebrity. He's the guest.
That's usually how they do it. I mean, that's how they did it with Floyd, right? So I don't know. But then again, Braun Strowman has lost so many big matches.
Oh my
goodness,
you're right.
Like, think about it. Like, when's the time the guy really has had a big victory? I personally, if it's one and done, honestly, I would put Braun over because
does Braun win and then Fury knocks him out after?
You could do it that way.
So he got his own hands.
He gets his own little shot in there, so it's not a complete job. I suppose you could go that way. Personally, to me, I would have just Braun Strowman destroying. But then, like you said, this is all part about kind of rehabbing and building up the UK audience again, right? With putting Tyson Fury in this.
Yeah,
role,
so that was something I said off air. But I mean, Tyson Fury is someone who doesn't really resonate.
I've never even heard of him before.
There you go. So he doesn't really resonate in North America. However, in the UK, he is, you know, a pretty big star. So getting him involved there. WWE is struggling in the UK due to a bad television contract. AEW is set to be far more popular due to the penetration of their television. So that might be a reason for his involvement here. But
I just hate these, like, one-and-done kind of things because they don't really help anyone. Tyson Fury leaves, so who cares? Braun is the one that has to stick around. That's why I always feel the guy that's sticking around should get the victory.
Well, in Cain Velasquez and Brock Lesnar's match, they're both sticking around.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, the work rate of Fury and Strowman is going to be atrocious. I don't think that this is going to be a horrible, horrible match.
It's going to be a lot of smoke and mirrors, man. You're going to get a lot of plunder in it, I bet.
And I don't know about plunder. I think a lot of Larry Zbyszko, like a lot of stalling.
Stalling. Could be.
With Kane and Lesnar, again, what do you do here? This one is for the title. I don't think Kane can be the champion.
I don't see him as a champion. I think that would be a terrible choice. I don't think a lot of WWE fans would want to see that as well. And he certainly doesn't have the promo skills to carry being champion.
He doesn't have the acting skills. Did you notice on SmackDown this week, Velasquez? Okay, first of all, let's go back to Raw. His punches are at the Shane McMahon level.
I would say, honestly, as much as I hate Shane, they're probably almost below the Shane McMahon.
He's a Rob Van Dam level?
His punches were, that's the first thing I thought. It was like, wow, you and Shane McMahon should form a tag team because neither one of you can throw a punch.
I think he's just so scared of hurting someone. I mean, here's a guy who, his fists were crazy in UFC, right?
Yeah, but he's in there with someone like, you know, Lesnar.
It was Shelton Benjamin was in there with on Monday, but Shelton Benjamin is a wrestler.
That's someone that I think you could, if you happen to potato him by mistake, I don't think it's going to be the end of the world. But stuff, especially like this, when guys come from outside sports, especially from MMA, for God's sake, stuff's got to look real. Yeah. It's got to look good. It's bad enough when an actor gets in there, but you can kind of excuse it because you're like, oh yeah, well, the guy's some celebrities here for 1 week. This is a fighter. This has real potential to be like a great storyline with the whole...
Yeah, they started well.
Yeah, that he beat Brock in UFC.
Sure.
You have all this
created
great
the
potential.
Scar.
Yes, right. And this whole thing about you're going to have a scar on the other side of your face.
Loved it.
Yeah, but his part in it, he needs a mouthpiece badly, and I don't know.
Well, he has it. It's Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, but I don't know if
you don't like it.
Well, I don't mind it. I mean, I don't think Rey's a strong enough mouthpiece. You need a really strong, like, honestly, you need a Heyman era or style level promo guy with this guy,
well,
right?
Well, someone that Meltzer had said would have been perfect is Conan.
Yes.
And Conan would work well because, you know, he has the Mexican aspect to him, right? And then along with that, he's wonderful on the mic.
That's very
He's
true.
Tremendous.
Yeah, it's very true.
In regards to Velasquez, though, I think also his acting is so poor. If you noticed when he was in the trainer's room with Dominic just waiting to be hit by the garbage can, he was horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
Just, he didn't even know how to look sympathetic to right. fake Dominic.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, right.
He was so bad. He is terrible. And he's also fighting the battle of cosmetics here
yeah.
because his body is aesthetically not pleasing to the wrestling fan.
No, I thought Dominic did better selling in this. I thought
Dominic's actually very good at selling.
I thought he was really good. I kind of don't like the way he just kind of gets tossed aside in this. But
tossed aside.
That's right. There's literally really nothing about this angle at the moment that works. Honestly, to me, I think you have to do something radical. Like, honestly, I see like Heyman turning on Lesnar and he goes
like
with
what
Kane.
He did with Big Show and Lesnar years ago. Remember when Heyman flip-flopped and he went to Big Show in a match and said, you don't remember this.
I
see a blank look in your eye right now.
That's how bad it was, I guess.
No, I remember it. I mean, it was such a disappointment. I don't think that they should do that.
I don't know. I just think he needs a high-level mouthpiece with him. And it's too bad you almost couldn't get someone else from MMA that could come with him, that would be a good talker and talk with. He needs someone to talk for him.
Well, I mean, that's what Ray is there for, and the fans do love Ray.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, by pairing Ray together, you're hoping that Kane gets the rub from Ray. But man, he's got a lot to learn, not just in the ring, but a lot about the character aspect of wrestling.
But if you're going to keep Ray with him, you got to keep Ray out of the ring then. I don't want both.
You don't want
Ray having regular matches and also being this guy's mouthpiece. He's got to be one or the other.
A tag team?
Yeah, I suppose you could go that route. I guess it would protect Kane a little bit. You let Ray get beat on,
and then
Kane gets to come and do the big save.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Let's talk about the other things that are happening this week on Crown Jewel, because it is Thursday. Team Flair versus Team Hogan. Oh, and here's something that I noticed immediately, once again on SmackDown, is you can't have the Raw guys there that are on Team Hogan or Team Flair, but Ray is allowed
there.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
This was, I mean, they broke their own rule real fast. To me, though, Mouth, I mean, I know you love Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I love Ric Flair. I don't care much for Hogan. I loved him as a kid, but whatever. I don't need to see these guys. And I don't need to see these guys bark at one another. I have nothing
for
this.
Well, you know why? Because the barking's no good anymore.
It's really not.
The barking is really bad. I've been really disappointed with Flair and Hogan. Two guys that when you think of promos are right up there in the upper echelon.
I thought Flair was drunk on Monday.
It wouldn't surprise me.
He was just off his rocker.
Yeah, I think Flair has been really, really poor. He doesn't seem to know where to speak. He jumps in when he shouldn't. Yeah, and like you said, it's tired. It's tired. And this constant battering back and forth, but I never pinned you and all that. And we all know that all those things have happened. So, I'm not intrigued. And there's no one on either team that I'm really intrigued with.
They're all generic.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone's generic.
It is. Exactly. The teams really don't mean anything. Drew McIntyre, I don't think, is a big deal. Like, it's...
Do Hogan and Flair do a spot?
Yes.
I think so, too.
Yes, they do. Hogan will throw a punch and Flair will take a bump.
You bet. That's what I think.
No. It's a given because he can't lift his leg, but he can still throw a punch. So Hogan will throw... I totally see it, Jay. Absolutely. Remember, Saudi Arabia, they like this.
They like
the old stars.
They do.
They are going to pop huge for Hogan. That'll be the big part of the match. That will get the biggest pop of that whole thing.
It'll be, and I think it's going to be like after Team Hogan wins. You know, it'll
Flair
be just like
runs at him
and then the big punch. And let's talk about the Firefly Funhouse. Bray Wyatt should be a carpenter because he has rebuilt the funhouse and appeared on SmackDown that had nothing to do with the storyline of Seth Rollins. He just reincarnated the rabbit. It had nothing to do with what was happening.
I'm so done with this.
I loved it.
I've been skeptical since day one. I don't like it. I think most of the vignettes really mean nothing. They're just there. Again, to me, filler. They seem like filler.
I don't think that was their intention.
No, of course not. I think they wanted to get him over and revamp the character, but I don't think it's done it, especially after the Hell in the Cell match.
Oh, that was
the first big match that we got to see with him back, and it was terrible with a terrible finish.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, but I, honestly, Firefly Funhouse, FF. Fast forward.
Okay.
That's what the Firefly Funhouse means to me. Because honestly, Jay, I think it's a terrible character. I don't like the vignettes anymore. I cringe when that comes up on the screen now.
Yeah, it's really jumped the shark. I think
it was in the with the sharks right from the start.
No, I do think that there was the ability here to have kind of a Mick Foley different personalities thing, and I did like it originally. If you rewind before the horrendous Hell in a Cell match, because now they might be in they can't come back from that,
right.
Perhaps. But if you were to go before that. Maybe it was even after that. You know when Seth burnt down the Firefly Funhouse? That was just last week. Like,
yes.
Instead of him burning it down, he should have shown up in that world. And here's what I mean by that. Seth, you know how, so Bray is the fiend in the ring and he's something else. He is Bray Wyatt in the Firefly Funhouse, the man in the red shirt. Seth shows up as like a Pee-wee's Playhouse neighbor. His hair is slicked back. He's got big goofy glasses on. He's in a sweater.
He's dressed like Marge.
Whatever. I'm just saying, like, he is a character and he goes in to mess with Bray in that world. Because to me, he went in there and he beat the crap out of him, and all of a sudden, Bray became a sympathetic character. It's like, what are you doing, Seth? What are you doing?
And well, to me, the part, though, is three words that you just said. In that world.
Yeah.
Where is this world?
I don't know.
See, it's too much of a disconnect, Jay.
Yeah.
It's like, what, the Firefly Funhouse travels with them to every arena? Yeah. And how does Seth even know where it is to go there in the first place? Like, I'm sorry, it's just too much of a disconnect for me, man. Doesn't even have an iota of basis in reality or credibility. I can't buy into it.
All right, fine. I could have seen it
where
working, but...
Where is that world? If you know where the world is of Bray Wyatt, let me know, because I don't know where it is.
We are wrapped for this hour. Coming up next, Dave Meltzer will join us. And then Turnbuckle Trivia. Along with that, we have the six-pack challenge and your feedback as well. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. We got a whole nother hour coming on TSN Radio. Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. Well, that was just hour one. But if you want hour two, then please sign up to our Patreon. Patreon.com/SNMEradio. It's just $1 a week. You get the full 2 hour show, commercial free, and along with that, all of our bonus podcasts that include the Midweek Markout, All Elite Weekly, Sunday Morning Trivia, and Dan Lavransky's Music Show. All of that comes to you for just $1 a week. So go get it right now. Patreon.com/SNMEradio.